Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Assemblywoman Jill Tolles joins us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Brian Wachter, Fred Locken, and James Smack. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some B&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're in the state capitol in the old Supreme Court, and we're delighted to welcome back to the program Assemblywoman Jill Tolles of Nevada District 25. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Always so great to see you. Always great to be on this program.
Thank you. And I wanted to bring up a comment that Alex Goff, do you know Alex? He's a Democratic National Committeeman.
I actually know him mostly through Twitter.
Okay. Well,
we've had many conversations, but.
Well, he said that, that, and I'm paraphrasing, that Republicans should be aware that both you and Heidi Gansert could run statewide and be a powerful competitor in this state. Does that surprise you in a state that appears to be trending blue?
Wow. Well, I appreciate the compliment, and I would definitely say that Senator Gansert is an amazing, amazing partner in our district. You know, AD25 actually is nested inside Senate District 15, and so she's been just a wonderful legislator to learn from, and I consider that a compliment.
Okay, do you have any ambitions for statewide office?
I have a personal ethic about taking each session one session at a time, and I genuinely mean that. And I know you get those kinds of answers a lot, but what I've observed is that there's really two groups of legislators, those that are really focused on doing the job and serving their constituents, and those who are focused on doing the next job. And I think that oftentimes if we get into that second category, it can corrupt the way that you make decisions. And so I have a really strong ethic about focusing just where I am, right where I am, looking at each bill one bill at a time, weighing the evidence and making the decision that I think is best for the constituents I serve.
We'll get to legislation after this question.
Yeah.
Is there a big difference with the number of females serving in this legislative session than there might have been otherwise?
You know, I definitely felt the movement of that last session when we were second in the nation. of female representation. We had 40% of our legislature was made up of females. We started the Women's Caucus. There was a tremendous amount of focus. This session, there was a lot of excitement about making U.S. history, and I think anytime you make U.S. history, especially in a positive way, it's really special. It's pretty amazing. I'm not going to lie. It's amazing to be a part of making U.S. history. But then there was very quickly, I believe, or at least I felt, this sentiment of, okay, now let's get to work, right? So it's great. Let's celebrate. That's fantastic. But we have 3 million people we're serving on a variety of issues of everything from taxes to economic development, education, water law. And so celebrate and then get to work. And so that's really what I have felt serving in the legislature this session is camaraderie and getting the job done.
But do you think there's a difference between a majority of men versus a majority of women in the way that things are being handled?
Certainly there's a difference between where we are today and where we were 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's kind of interesting to have lobbyists who were former legislators who've been in the building for 20 or so years come and say to me, wow, we would have never had this conversation come to the table. It just wouldn't have even gotten a hearing 10, 20 years ago. And now it seems that we're paying attention to things in ways that we didn't before, or more comfortable having conversations that we weren't having before. So I definitely noticed that difference. But again, having only served for 2 sessions, I noticed that conversation. Those kinds of conversations really come to the table last session too. So to say that there was some huge difference between this session and last session, I can't say that. I think the bigger difference is between now and 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Do you feel a sense of bipartisanship at this point in the session?
Yes and no. I definitely feel like I'm more positively encouraged by how much we have been able to make our concerns known and be heard. I'm glad to see that there were a number of bills that did not make it past the deadline that I think would have been truly devastating for our state, particularly, and this is a background that I come from, small business. Before I went into teaching, I was the regional manager for ADP. We did 1 in 6 paychecks in America at the time. And so small businesses were my clientele, and that's what I tend to be really focused on. There's still some things that are on the table, still some things that are coming through that I have deep concerns about. But there were a lot of legislation, there was a lot of legislation that was brought forward that I'm glad didn't make it past that first deadline. So from that standpoint, I am grateful that that we are still having a voice. And last session we had 55% of our bills were passed unanimously, 95.2% had bipartisan support to some degree or another. So I'm very curious to do the stats after the end of this session and see how it compares. And one of the things that is sort of the untold story, though, is how many bills get to progress. And so from the Assembly Republican side versus the Assembly Democrat side, of course, we have, they have 2.5 times the number of bills because they have more representatives. We're in the super minority. There's 13 of us. We had 100 bills we brought forward. 50% of those made it through the deadline, either passing through the first house or exempt and still in play. Whereas on the Assembly Democrat side, they had over 250, and 75% of theirs are still in play. So I definitely feel like there is still an openness to working together, and I'm, of course, for that and pushing for that as much as in every way we can, because I think that benefits all of us, but want to make sure that our bills are still moving forward all the way to the finish line.
You used the phrase deep concerns about some bills. Which ones have you the most concerned as they move forward?
Well, we have had a lot of conversations about minimum wage in the past, and that still is alive right now. And it's interesting because when you have the conversation about minimum wage, it was brought up often, it's going to be 50 cents more to pay for your burger at the fast food restaurant. And that, I appreciate where the proponents are coming from. I really do. I don't think there's anyone in this building that doesn't want to see people make a living. And you certainly hear a story from a father of 4 who's scooping ice cream at Cold Stone Creamery and trying to make ends meet, and you're thinking, this was never meant to make a living. That's not the kind of job that is meant to sustain your family, and certainly not going to address the healthcare needs and insurance needs of your family. So how do we get that individual into a sustainable position where they are meeting the needs of their family and themselves as individuals? But to reduce it to the cost of a hamburger, I think is limiting the scope of what that impact is. So for example, I have a constituent who owns a hospice care and a senior care services. And he was explaining to me that that's intrinsically tied to overtime laws. And so when you have overnight care, which when you have 24/7 care for somebody who's on hospice, end of life, if we're talking about the most vulnerable, the least of these are the people that are in the most vulnerable situations. Well, suddenly you bump that up to $12 an hour, then you have to bump it up to $18 an hour when they cross over into the overtime category. And then you have to charge more to that family and to that patient than you would have had to before, because now you've run up against Medicaid reimbursement and Medicare reimbursement. And so you can no longer be sustainable caring for those, the least of these, the vulnerable ones, really looking at the end of their lives. And you're telling those family members, I'm sorry, we can't take you anymore because we've now priced you out. And that conversation gets a lot broader than just the cost of a hamburger. And so I think that I appreciate the conversation. It's one that I know we will continue to have, but we have to have it in a way that looks at all the impacts that this has. And we have to realize that there's also a huge portion of our population who's not working. They're on fixed incomes. So what does that do to them? When we talk about the increase in cost and services, we talk about the negative impacts, again, for the vulnerable. So I appreciate where people are coming from. They're having this conversation because they're trying to address the needs of the vulnerable and provide more of a living wage. So as a conservative, we need to have a response to that. We need to have a response that, how do we get underemployed adults into workforce development programs, educational programs, get them upskilled? We have to face the reality that more and more jobs are being automated. So how do we, instead of creating a false raise of that minimum wage, which only tackles part of the problem, how do we have a more holistic approach to how do we get you more skills and get you into a higher level of your career and economic sustainability for you and your family?
Well, the other side of that coin too is that this is almost insignificant in an economy where you have less than 4% unemployment. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get somebody for $15 an hour, good luck on that. Mm-hmm. Fast food restaurants are competing on that level to try and find employees. This really doesn't even come into play until the next recession.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In reality, I mean, try to hire somebody at this point in time, pretty hard. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more after this time out.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Jill Tolles of Nevada District 25. So bills that you have that are still alive.
Yes.
AB 166, efforts to fight sex trafficking. Explain where we're going with this.
So this one is just coincidentally is really tackling an issue that's been in the news a lot. And we heard the sting operations in Florida that led to some high-profile arrests in what we call illicit massage parlors, right? Businesses that are essentially acting as a front for the illegal sex trade. And so Las Vegas Metro Police, actually over the interim months before this issue got a lot more publicity, came to me and asked me to bring forward some legislation to really fine-tune the law so that they could directly go after the business owner that's using their business as a front for illegal sex trade. And my response to them was only if we can write it so tightly to make sure that we're not inadvertently capturing businesses that are not directly and can't be proved to be directly involved. And so we thread the needle really, really tightly, I believe, and found that balance. But just to give you an example, one of the examples they brought to me was they had a tax prep service. You heard me right, tax preparation, where there was not a computer or a calculator to be found, but they walked in and there were 8 beds and 11 Asian women hiding in a storage room behind closed doors, stacked on top of each other, practically living in just what truly is human rights violations type of circumstances. And so that bill did pass through the first house, and I anticipate we'll be having hearing in the next week or two. And it's important to know that this is very, very specific to issues or circumstances where that individual, those victims, are truly being sex trafficked. There's been a force or a threat of immediate physical force or indentured servitude. And so we can prove that they're being trapped there, their IDs have been taken away from them. This is truly the worst of the worst types of trafficking situations, and has nothing to do with the legalized discussion, because I know there's been a lot about that and it tends to get conflated sometimes.
Is this an issue for Washoe County as well? Because it certainly appears to be.
Yes, absolutely. And so it's actually, Mayor Sheevy sent support. Sheriff Darren Balaam came out personally to testify in favor of it. And then the city council, city of Las Vegas, and the mayor and mayor pro tem down there said this is one of their top priorities. It's just, it really has been a major issue for them.
We've got less than a minute left here, yep. But if you can talk about AB 316, which expands DUI programs.
Oh, that's just an amazing program. And again, Washoe County being the star in this regard, they started a 24/7 safe and sober program where individuals can keep a restricted driver's license, keep their job, keep their family, but they have to go to a drug testing center twice a day to prove that they're sober. And in the first 6 months of this program, they had over 99% compliance rate. And so what we're doing is we're dealing with the cause, not just the symptoms, and it helps keep our prison population down, again, keeps people employed and keeps them in treatment so that they're really dealing with the root cause of the drunk driving. It's modeled after a program in South Dakota where they were able to essentially reverse their road safety ratings. And another interesting side benefit nobody expected, domestic violence rates went down. Because all of a sudden, it's my partner's been sober for the first time in our entire relationship, and they're not turning to violence. So it's an amazing program. The nice thing about it too, I always love bringing programs that we don't have to have state funds, no fiscal notes. This program is just putting it into statute statewide so that we can apply for federal grants to make it available in other jurisdictions in the rurals and in Clark County.
And that's where we have to leave it. Come back before end of session, please.
All right, thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the old Supreme Court in the Capitol here in Carson City. We have a great Power Pundit panel with Brian Wachter, Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada, Fred Locken, Political Science Professor at Truckee Meadows Community College, and James Smack, former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. Education, teachers pay, the big discussion, huge rallies in Las Vegas over the weekend. Come up with a number now. Where are we with this?
Well, there's no new formula revision plan that's been dropped. The class size reduction bill was amended and removed the class size reduction issues. AB 277 is still live, and this bill gives teachers an annual 3% raise that can't even be collectively bargained. So that's the kind of the three bills and where they sit now in session. And CCEA did have, from what I understand, a rally down south. I think there's still some questions about how many folks were there. But at the end of the day, we have to recognize that the teachers union has kind of dominated the conversation in this space. So when the legislature this week gets their instructions from the Economic Forum, there will be a discussion on, if we're not going to raise taxes, what do we choose to do that limited dollars with? And because of that conversation, it's all going to raises. And as a parent, I'm worried that there won't be lower class sizes, there won't be more for curriculum, there won't be more enrichment, because we're all just shifting that money again to salaries and benefits.
And it looks like lower class sizes are out the door already.
Well, by necessity. In fact, there could be, in fact, a reduction by the forecast forum. I think there is some concern about what's going to come forward, which would make even less money available. On the other hand, teachers across this country are grossly underpaid, and in Nevada more so, given the cost of living. It's a baby in the bathwater sort of thing, but if we can start anywhere and it's increasing pay to teachers that are grossly underpaid, I'd support it.
James? I'm not necessarily against teachers getting a pay increase. I don't want to come off and say that that's the big issue here. I think everything's kind of on hold till we get the Economic Forum report and see actually how much money we are projected to have for this budget. So that being said, I don't begrudge anybody being able to get some kind of a pay increase, but if they're going to be getting a mandated 3% pay increase on top of whatever their union contract provides for them, that may be something that needs to be looked at and say, is this something that's actually fiscally responsible at this point in time? Are they already getting a raise in their union contracts? Is it something that is this something just a cherry on the sundae on top of that? I mean, when you look at state employees and whether they might get a raise or not, they don't have a union necessarily fighting for them. They don't have one that can collectively bargain, at least not yet. Maybe that bill is going to pass too, but It's something that needs to be looked at and considered on top of. I know it was a Governor Sisolak promise. It's probably going to get delivered. It's probably going to get delivered on the backs of taxpayers in some way, shape, or form. I just would caution that let's look at the union contracts and see what they're already going to be getting for a raise before we just say let's give them 3% a year and put and tie that into legislation.
Okay, Brian.
Well, I would just kind of disagree with the professor somewhat. I mean, Nevada teachers are the 18th highest compensated in the country. And what you'll hear from the other side is that, well, when you take into account class sizes, that we're the lowest paid per class size. And I think we need to realize that our schools aren't at 100% capacity. Could we hire, you know, entire rooms and buildings full of teachers? No, but I know on the high school that I sit on the SOT, in the last two budget cycles, we've wanted to add positions and have been unable to do so because the cost of current labor had gone up. So there are, I think, classrooms that we should be putting teachers. And so I think before we decide that raises are the only thing that should be funded, we should make sure that there's a teacher in every available classroom in this entire state. And so before we try to climb out of being 51st in the country, maybe not raise teacher salaries as opposed to hiring more teachers. And I think that's a conversation that needs to happen.
Fred?
Well, we're facing a brain drain from the state, 18th in the nation, but with probably one of the five highest housing costs in the nation. So the cost of living here has to be factored in. Since the recession, first it was a complete pay freeze, then it was a 6.5% reduction. And so as others recovered in the private sector, all public sector employees have been basically disadvantaged with just the Sandoval boost at the end. And so frankly, if you want to keep quality, I would be very comfortable with seeing the pay increase, but addressing classroom size, discussing how districts are obligated to allocate their funds so that more could be redirected to the classroom, all of that should be a priority, and I think that's the whole purpose of this of the Sisolak administration.
The last point I want to make is tying a 3% raise into legislation, how do you handle that in the next recession? How do we handle that without ending up RIF noticing 20 to 25% of our teachers that are the newest employees in the state, newest employees in a district, because that's what happened in 2010. There were major league RIF notices, and anybody who came in to become a teacher in this state at that point in time had to genuinely think about the fact that in a year or two they might be gone because the school district could no longer afford them because of the burdensome union contracts, and now adding a 3% raise annually into legislation. It sounds like a recipe for disaster once we do hit that next recession. And as much as we'd like to think that the economic growth of this country is going to continue to build and continue to drive momentum, we are going to have another recession. It's going to happen. It probably won't be as bad as what happened in 2008 through 2010, but it's going to happen. We need to be prepared for that as well.
That's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much for that spirited discussion, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
In addition to NevadaNewsmakers.com, you can also watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.